Give your talents, give your gifts, and those who are listening, whatever it is that you can give, you might not be able to give what I can give, but whatever God has put in your spirit, you give that with all of the energy, all of the enthusiasm that you can muster up. Give what God has given you. Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. Give God a hand clap of praise. If the Lord really has done something for you, you ought to say something. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. I'm praying for my youngest son. And we want to give Pastor Earl Williams a hand, and we're praying for the brothers as they are away. Amen. Pastor Nathaniel, Pastor Charles, and Pastor James. We're praying for a little Christian who is standing at Union Baptist Church there in Beaufort, Georgia this morning in my absence. And we know God is going to work in a mysterious way. I would like to call your attention to the gospel, the epistle of 1 John. The epistle of 1 John. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and I want to just look at two verses. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth and knoweth God, for God is love. Look at verse 8. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Very simple message. I want to talk from this thought, the subject, a wonderful change. Theme topic, a new life. It's important that we understand that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Loving one another proves that we are born of God and that we know God. A couple of things that I want to bring out. Number one, God is love. His very nature in this 7th verse, his very nature is love. Therefore, if a person loves God, he becomes a loving person. He takes on the very nature, the very attributes of God himself. And that's why we say God lives in the believer. God lives in the child of God. If a person really, really, really loves God, then he does what God does. He loves everyone regardless of who they may be. Note exactly what the verse says. When we love one another, people are to see two things. People are to see that we are born of God. We have a new life. We are new creatures. Those of us who have really been, I'm not talking about those whose name are on church rolls. I'm not talking about those who have a religious experience. I'm talking about those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Those who know God. Those who walk with God, talk with God. I wish I had somebody to help me. I'm sorry. I'm a little radical, and I just like to cry out and say, ah, my Father. Because he means so much to me. They see that we have the nature of God. That God has put his divine nature into us. How do they see God's nature in you? How do they see God's nature in me? By our love. By our love. They see us doing the very same thing that God does, loving people. They see us loving everyone, the rich, the poor, healthy, the suffering,
deserving, undeserving. Are y'all in the house with me? Acceptable and those unacceptable, the good and the bad. We got to love all because God so loved the whole world. And those of us born of God must love all.
And so here we are. They see us loving everyone, no matter who they are. Second people see. And you have to be careful because we go on jobs where the job is not comfortable. The people we work with are uncomfortable. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You know, you have those who are always trying to pull you down, say things that cause you to feel down. And then sometimes they want to make you look down. And then if you're not careful, they make you act low.
People see that we know God. They see that we have been talking to God and learning about God, not just on Sunday, but we come to Bible class, Bible study, Sunday school. We read God's word. We study God's word for ourselves. And now a lot of people in church, the only thing they know about God's word is what mama said and what daddy said. They never open up the Bible and read it for themselves. They never look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved. Workmen need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Is there anybody in here know anything about God's word? I believe the brothers know they know about God's word. You got to know God's word for yourself.
I'm sorry, I'm not in union. I'm sorry. They see that we know God. They see that we have fellowship and communion with Him. That we are loving godly. We're loving godly like godly loved, and we are not only loving godly, but we also are walking and living godly, and that we are actually
taking on the very nature of God. Very nature of God.
We don't look down on anybody. Matter of fact, if you fall, it's my obligation, it's my duty to put you back where you were. And too many times if somebody falls, we want to get away from them. We don't want to be around them. But those who have been born of God, what a wonderful change it is to be able to love everybody.
How do they see all this?
They see it by agape or agape. They see it by stoke. They see it by philia.
And even our spouses and our significant others see it by eros, because you cannot love your brother or your sister or your wife without first loving God. And God got to be number one in your life. When you've been born,
I wish I had some help here.
When you've been born again, it's just something about you. You look different. You act different. Matter of fact, it's something about those of us who are in the household of faith. We'll go out our way to help somebody. I'm talking about those who really been born again. We'll go out our way and say, you know what? I don't know if I've done anything to you, but whatever it is, I'm sorry. Maybe I don't know what's wrong. Did I do anything? Is it something I can do to help you along the way? Can I give you a helping hand along the way? That's what those who've been born again. What a
for the believers. God, but we also need to know the significant fact. The person who does not love others, look at them, reveals something as well. They show us something also.
Person who do not know God in verse 8. Who is this person who do not know God and who do not love? And that's the reason why we have to be careful. And when we go around and say we're a child of God, and then we don't speak to our neighbors or our co-workers, we have to be careful. Regardless if they speak to you. Do you know some people come to church and say, you know, they didn't speak to me. Well, what about, did you speak to them? Come to choir rehearsal and then they're all upset because, you know, they came right here beside me and didn't speak. Well, did you speak to them? Matter of fact, you should have reached over and shared some love with them. Say, come and just give me a big hug.
Who is this that does not know God?
Person who lives selfishly. The person who hoards and banks. Thank God that I built up my treasures, and I was sitting here and I was wondering, what can I give back to the heart? And God said, just give yourself. Are y'all in the house with me? If you give yourself, you've given everything that you got. Give yourself. Give all that you have. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. And too many of us are holding back. We're afraid to give. give your talents, give your gifts. And those who are listening, whatever it is that you can give, you might not be able to give what I can give, but whatever God has put in your spirit, you give that with all of the energy, all of the enthusiasm that you can muster up. Give what God has given you. God Almighty.
Oh, I wish, please, every now and then you might want to hit me because I feel something up in here. Person who don't know God, they discriminate against class one another.
God created all of us in his likeness.
Those who don't know God, these are the persons who neglect others when others need help. Those who abuse and those who is prejudiced, those who
elevate themselves, want to be better and bigger than somebody else. But God came by and said, I have no respect of person. Thank God that he loved me enough.
He reached down and picked me up and turned me around, put my life on straight street.
I haven't always been where I am today. If it had not been for God, where would we be? Where would we be? I'm trying to get out of here. I got to go back to Beaufort, but I want to tell you, God is watching us.
Matthew 22 and 39 says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
John 13:25 says this in his word, by this all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Reach over and say, I can't help it, I'm a disciple. I am a disciple of Christ Jesus. I cannot help it. I got to love you. You sitting next to me, so you my neighbor this morning. You might not live on my street. You might not live in my community. You might not live where I live, but I'm your neighbor, and I'm come by to tell you whatever I can do to help you.
Along the way, here I am. Here I am trying to help somebody. Why? And you know, people will tell you, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And you ought to refer them back to this text and say, then you ought to really be me. Because I'm mandated to love everybody. Where are you? I'm mandated to help everybody. Romans 12:9 says this, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without judging one another. Let love be without, but be without, well, I'm in this clique, this group, this class, this cluster. Matter of fact, he said, if you've really been born again and you have this love, you harbor that which is evil.
Cleave to that which is good.
We ought to note that God's love. There in John, in this first epistle of John, John 4:19. In fact, this is the way we know that God is love. Those of us who really know about God and know that he is love. If someone asks, how do we know that God is love? The world is full of so much evil. The world is full of so much bad. How can we be sure God loves us? And somebody might be looking and listening to us today. Note the scripture. This is the way God revealed that he loves us. God sent his only begotten son, into the world that we may have life through him. The world is full of evil and bad. Man commit all kinds of evil. And in addition to this, they curse God. They reject God. They ignore God. They disobey God. They disbelieve God. They disbelieve his word. They rebel against God. They deny that God exists. They oppose God. But this is the glorious love of God. God still loves man, still wants to help and to take care of man. Man has the most serious problem imaginable. Not only is he engulfed with all the evil of the world, but he dies
and curses to be on this earth. He lives at most of just a few short years. And then he is gone forever from the earth. But as stated earlier, God is love. And he has proven his love. He has sent Jesus, who bled, suffered, and died. We just got through with the broken body and shed blood in commemoration of what he done for us, that we might have everlasting life. So God is love, and he wants us to love one another. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share God's love here with you today. I know it was God who picked me up one Tuesday evening about 47 years ago. I was on my way to hell, no heaven in my view. But something happened at 35 Northside Drive. Rising star. And something happened, a change, can I get some help down here, came over me. And I looked at my hands, and they looked new. Great God, looked at my feet, and they did too. And ever since that day, I've been running for the Lord. Is there anybody here can remember when you met the Lord? Yes, I thank God for Jesus. And I thank God that he sent his son. Yes, he sent him through 42 generations. And he stopped off in Bethlehem of Judea. Pray God. He was reared in Nazareth, and he opened blinded eyes, and stretched out the withered arms, and he made the lame walk and the dumb talk. My God, and he went on to Calvary. Y'all don't hear me. And on Calvary, he died. The Bible says he died unto the earth thrilled and rocked. And Sinai shook a frosted tops. I tell you, he died. But you can't put a period there. You put a comma. Because they took him off that old rugged cross. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. Anything you borrow, you got to give it back. I heard you saying, can't nobody take his life. He said he'll lay it down, and in 3 days, he'll pick it up. Y'all don't hear me. In 3 days, he had a revival meeting. And the reason why he had a revival meeting in Hades. Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah, Michael, Nahum, Becca, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah wanted to see the nail prints in his hand. But early, I wish I had a witness here. Why don't you say, if the Lord have done anything for you, if you know you've been changed and your name is in the Lamb Book of Life, I dare you to high five somebody. I dare you to stand on your feet. I've been changed.
This ends message number 6317 by Dr. Carrie E. Harris. To hear other messages or to send this message number 6317 to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This was A Wonderful Change by Dr. Carrie E. Harris. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.